This is part two of the Raised by Wolves podcast with this week's studio guest, Scott Shiflett, on guntrafficradio.podomatic.com.
But more importantly...
Iggy Pop.
This, we're staying along the lines of the theme of Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Igward Poppenfield.
What's Iggy Pop's name is Jim... something. I forgot what his real name was, but it was because in this book there's like this book that I saw it, and I was at some bookstore. I was like thumbing through something, and like they had like I think it was a British publication where they would talk about like the descriptions of like Bob Dylan, for example, and they would use like every way somebody would say Dylan's name in like a in an article, whatever, calling him Zimmerman or Zimmy or whatever. But then like they have this thing about Iggy Pop where they called him like Jimmy or Jimmy Pop or like another thing where, you know, from his real name, but I forgot what it was.
James
Osterberg. Well, you know.
What was it?
James Osterberg.
That's it, yes.
Well, you know, my real name is Skyrocket Danger Man.
Right, but you changed
it to Scott Shiflett because it seemed cooler.
Right.
Skyrocket Danger Man.
So,
what was our song we were singing over here?
What?
That we were singing a song on our way up here.
You're a pathetic girl.
Something like that.
I can't remember 5 minutes ago.
That's why you're my buddy. Hey, you still owe me that $10. Didn't you pay me $5 ago?
Yeah, it all works out. You're pathetic girl.
You're pathetic girl.
I know. Then you started like putting it to music, and then it just rocks so
you're
hard.
You're pathetic girl. You're pathetic girl. Ooh yeah. That's right. I'm David Coverdale, and you're pathetic girl. I don't want David Coverdale looking for me with a baseball bat.
No, yeah, you get served. You're like,
right. I've never heard of Raised by Wolves.
Misappropriation of David Coverdale.
I wrote that song, mate. You owe me lunch.
Yeah.
So yeah, Iggy Pop. I was, you know, a typical young kid in the 70s who loved his Kiss records and whatever. And had a guitar teacher, this guy Don, who decided one day to help me out a little bit. And he lent me a cassette, and it was Iggy's Raw Power. And cassette, I know, it's going to be alien to some of your listeners. Yeah. But... you know, when I first heard Search and Destroy, it just blew my head open. And it just seemed like the coolest, most bitchinest song ever. It's badass. It's like the Stones on 10. It's killer.
Yeah, that's it's like the first time you hear the Ramones type of thing, especially when your whole world has been, you know, Led Zeppelin and Deep Purple and stuff, and then when you hear something that's just so foreign and so completely different from what you're used to, but at the same time completely blowing your mind.
Yeah, because it has it has a lot of the elements that were hidden in some of the things you liked, drive, distortion, and just to hear it distilled into this like perfect, you know, is like mainlining that thing that you want, that you really dug out of rock. Yeah. I'm gonna spin a track here. Spin. That's another one. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Cool. In the middle of
kitchen to this floor. And honey, I'm the world's forgotten boy, the one who's searching only to destroy. Technology.
By Wolves.
That's right.
Yeah, Alice Cooper, one of the original Detroit.
That's right.
Rockers.
But wasn't he originally from Arizona or something?
I think he was, but yeah. He went to Detroit because there was a really cool
garagey scene.
Yeah, there was a scene up and coming. Yeah,
and we were talking about that. Very few people realize that it was Frank Zappa who sicked Alice Cooper on the world. He had a label, a subsidiary of Warner Brothers called Straight that. He signed them too for their first two records.
Nice.
Yeah.
What was the deal with the signing? You were telling
us. Oh yeah, he asked them to show up at 6 to audition at his house.
6 in the morning. Yeah.
Well, no, he meant 6 at night, but the band showed up at 6 in the morning and set up all their stuff in his like living room or whatever and just started playing.
Yeah.
Frank comes down and just, you know, looks at him like, "What the fuck are you guys doing, man? I'm trying to sleep up here." But he, you know, he was still pretty into it and signed them. And
nice. Stuff,
so, yeah. They were a little bit more of an art band for the first couple records and eventually kind of coalesced their thing. It's sort of funny, you know, everyone thinks of Alice Cooper and they immediately think of that iconic makeup design.
Yeah.
But that makeup design didn't actually show up until record number 6.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, a lot of artists today never even make it to record number 6. So,
yeah.
You know, that thing we think is so ubiquitous to the Alice Cooper experience wasn't even around for, you know, I don't even recall there being makeup for the first couple records. There was that one that was sort of like the fingers coming away from
the eyes. Oh, right.
Proto makeup job.
Yeah. Yeah, that is interesting how, like, even no matter how successful you are, if you make it to, like, your 4th record, you know, that's pretty good.
Yeah, you know, having a catalog is pretty valuable just in and of itself anymore, with so many people like getting, you know, shut out or discouraged and never being able to make it to that
point. Yeah, I mean, you could even really be like, it's not as if, all right, yeah, we started off and we didn't sell any records and we sucked or whatever. I mean, you could, like, right now be selling a lot of records, but then a couple of years from now, your label could be like, oh, yeah, but, you know, that was then. You were doing good then, but,
right.
You know, we want to do something else now.
Well, the turnover rate is so much greater. You know, you got to figure, to a degree, even though rock has always been appealing to people, more people feel they can pull it off now than they ever could before. What with the advent of punk and new wave, you know, essentially lowering the bar as far as how good people thought they might have to be to get in there and do it themselves.
Right.
And, you know, once upon a time, people were scared of all those crazy Beatle chords. I can't make those, so I'm just going to go be an accountant. And they kind of left the rock up to the Zeppelins and other guys that were willing to just go there or whatever. But nowadays, there's just too many people want to do it. And and in a market that's glutted like that, everyone, you know, you're basically competing with people willing to light their hair on fire for attention. And
yeah,
well, especially if you think of yourself as some kind of artist or something, you're doubly screwed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, now, I mean, with what they call generation fame, you know, it's like they even give, you know, teenagers the idea that, yeah, you could be a superstar. So now you have everybody climbing. I mean, fuck, man, being in a band is a video game now. You know, I mean, 10 years ago, would you have even like thought, what, you know, who would play a video game of, like, you know, rocking out to AC/DC,
you know,
or something?
In a way, it's sort of funny, because at first I was kind of stoked, because I thought, well, for the longest time, too many people that really don't even seem to have any predisposition or anything, you know, natural tendency to be a guitar player, all got guitars, wanted to play guitars. So, you know, every jackass that couldn't play, you know, had some kind of band. And Lord knows, I love music by non-musicians, so it isn't like a total judgment call, but it just seemed glutted by people that didn't know what the hell they were doing, and so nobody could even learn anything off anyone else. And I thought, well, this is great. It gives all these people something, you know, instant gratification, whereas, you know, guys like me and other people I know took years of basically not partying and not going out, not having fun, and sitting in their bedrooms honing their chops.
Yeah, doing, you know, scales,
right.
Exactly.
You know, you can get your rocks off now just immediately with those four big plastic Simon Says buttons. And but somebody else pointed it out to me. They said, no, see, the problem is when all these people are still buying guitars, it keeps the prices lower. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword. I don't want to pay $50,000 for a guitar, so I guess, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess there is an upside to it. It is just interesting where, you know, now it just makes even being in a band and making music completely trivial to teenagers, where, like, yeah, it's something that they'll be into for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden the rock band equipment video game is like collecting dust in the corner, where they're like, yeah, I know what it's like to be in a band and write music, you know.
Right. I've been cheered at by over 500,000 people on my rock band game.
Yeah, so I know what it's like, so meh, you know, like, so it just kind of, I don't know, I think it kind of brings the value of that down a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, and then again, it's also what you do with it. You know, my brother-in-law, Ken, goes by the name Turtle. You know, he's a hip-hop artist, and he does a bunch of stuff. It's really kind of cut and paste, you know, sampling and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And but I think what he does is incredibly cool, and I think he's, you know, he works hard at it. He writes lyrics that are absolutely relevant to his own life and topical, and I think it's great. Shit, sometimes I think he's putting more effort into it than I've been doing in a few years now, you know? And it's all very, it's impressive to me, but it's also, you know, coming from that angle that a lot of quote unquote musicians sort of thumb their nose and frown at, which is, you know, that sort of cut and paste garage band. All you need to do in this day and age is just sample of this, sample of that, and it sounds incredible right off the bat. I mean, try to play a bass and sound good. It's going to take a few years, you know.
Yeah.
And in the instant gratification society, you know, no one wants to wait that long for a return. They want to sound good now, you know.
Yeah, you know, that's, you know, for guys like Tom Petty or Elton John or something, who actually do have like a huge catalog, I don't think you'd ever see something like that now. I don't think you'd see Lady Gaga have, you know, 15 records.
I can't imagine it, but you know.
In your case, 50 records in Elton John's
case. She's already got three out of the first record. They've remixed it three times and released it three separate ways.
Right. Oh, I mean like full-length releases. Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Where are we going from here, gentlemen?
What, you got something?
I'm not exactly sure. I figured maybe I'll play a turtle track.
This is science. Without theology. This is science. Without theology.
The return of the custodians, I'm knowing that these are the same cats who supposedly were holy men, controlling them, holding human race as an experiment. Where it went wrong, no, that's another story. I knew they were coming for me, ignore me now, and we'll see who's laughing when it's pouring down. Holy cow, fire from the sky used to sound like something glorious, but nowadays the technology, it's the goriest. History is told as we travel into space, but when mysteries unfold and unravel in your face, don't be baffled or disgraced, it's actually a race that came from another planet and it's nowhere near heaven. Try 7 million light years, it's possible but quite weird. I know it sounds crazy, but the Aztecs knew it, Egyptians drew it, even as the Druids, they've left us mathematical equations just to prove it.
You know what I'm saying? The fuck was already here. Left us here.
It was written by the ancients in Sumerian texts. The truth about humans, I'm not very impressed. The proof is in ruins that they already left. Right here on planet Earth, where they started this mess. Unidentified, flying in a stellar space pod. I think it's odd, still believe it was a god. Fool, you've been robbed, this is only a facade. Reading Bibles that recycled, hand it out cause it's your job. You wanna know the truth? Here's a Hail Mary log. Let's see if you can catch it, wretched aliens exist. Not a paleontologist, but all of this ain't myth. So let me run down the list. This is one example of some shit that's astounding. Why would God tell Joshua to kill by the thousands? And why would God's glory have to fly over a mountain in a golden rocket ship? I do not get this shit. Let me spit some more scripture, mister, I got plenty. Ezekiel chapter 1, Genesis chapter 20. These are alien counters written very in depth. Getting pulled by our strings like a marionette.
I cannot accept half-baked theories that sell newspapers. I'm a scientist, not an alarmist.
It was written by the ancients in Sumerian texts. The truth about humans, I'm not very impressed. The proof is in ruins that they already left. Right here on planet Earth, where they started this mess. It was written by the ancients in Sumerian texts. The truth about humans, I'm not very impressed. The proof is in ruins that they already left. Right here on planet Earth, where they started this mess.
They departed and left. Is it so hard to accept? Stop acting so wet behind the ears. It's kind of weird how so many people out there never question supernatural occurrence in the Bible, cause religious freaks know it all.
We're just some psychos.
We travel into space now, they did it when the closest thing to humans were Neanderthal men. Then they spliced their own genetics with Neanderthal, made Homo sapiens and thought they had answered all their problems by creating a self-hating slave race. But when their lies gave way just so they could save face, they made up some bullshit.
We're from the heavens, you as you're told if you wanna keep.
Man, them floods didn't happen cause you didn't follow me. We pissed off some aliens that had technology. We didn't build pyramids just for the pharaohs. Aerial navigation points straight like an arrow. And tell me how the same kind of structures were in Mexico.
Is it coincidence?
I think it's extraterrestrial. Kept people blind from the truth with distractions. Made them hate each other for their color or their accent. Fronting like some holy men, but only them are laughing. These actions are quite reminiscent of our present day politics. Through all of this, building on a myth to heaven's gate.
Thank you.
Raised by Wolves.
That was just Turtle off the Hardestry record, and I can't say what that track is called, because when I downloaded that tune, none of the info showed up on my thing. So I'm a bit of a jerk. But yeah, that's Turtle. He's a hip hop guy. He's my brother in law, and he's awesome. And he also has a group called The Learning Curve. I actually played bass on that last track.
Nice.
And I do added a little bit of like the vocals in the beginning. And I played some bass on the Left It Bumps, which was I think the most recent Learning Curve record. And I even played a few shows with them for a while until I fell off the radar about doing that. But that was fun.
Yeah,
it's funny seeing me at 2 a.m. on stage at underground LA hip hop clubs and that sort of thing. I'd look around sometimes and what am I doing here? This is crazy, but right. It was fun.
Oh, that's very cool.
At first. The first one or two times I did that, I dragged like a little bass rig out with me. And I started thinking, why am I, these guys are, they're right. Rappers. So they just show up and get on the mic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then the night's done and they're drinking and running around and I'm still dragging gear around. So I was like, why am I doing this? So I kind of distilled it just down to a bass and a DI, and I could go right into the house board. And frankly, I don't even care if I hear myself, because I kind of know where I am on the bass. And so that was fun. So I figured I'd spin one of his tracks because, he's awesome.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah.
When I worked at the Troubadour, we used to get acts like that in there. And the guys, if they did have instruments, more times than not, they just went direct right through the board.
Yeah.
Very convenient.
Yeah, easy on an old timer's back.
All right.
And that's me, baby.
So we're going to play some of the latest Viva Death.
Yeah, I figure why not? I'm here, right? So,
It's your show.
It's my show. I'm going to play you a tune. I'm sorry if this song goes on forever and the guitar solo is going to drive everybody fucking nuts, but what the hell? I don't give a fuck. It's my show. This is a song called Freeze off Curse the Darkness.
We'll be right back. people like you.
Raised by Wolves.
Viva Death.
Damn.
And what was the name of that song?
That song is called Villain.
Yeah, see, because I don't have the titles, which
yeah
perplexes me when I'm listening to the record.
Before that,
that's
freeze.
The whole point. Yeah, those were a couple tracks off the still as yet unreleased record. I'm making a career out of unreleasing this record.
Are you gonna post it online or anything?
Yeah, you know, I was recently talking with a label, prospective label, about maybe doing something together, and it just didn't seem like it would work out, and you know, so we could basically just put it up, make it available for a couple different types of downloads. It's likely how we're gonna do it. Chad is still pretty keen on the idea of having some kind of art and artwork or booklet or something, and understandable, because even if we don't print up actual copies, because I can't afford to do that shit anymore. I got boxes of the last record.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just not financially worthwhile, though I do still enjoy holding an actual copy. But, you know, it should have some sort of look that goes with it. And I've gone through a million different things. The stuff I want, I can never get clearance for. I actually have a painting in mind by a pretty happening artist, and I'm not even going to say it at this point because that would just jinx everything. But I'm going to, you know, send him a copy of the record and see if he is cool with maybe licensing or letting me just fucking run with one of his paintings, which would be great.
Is that how it works with, because I never, like with any of the Jughead records, I never, well, even though we got sued back to the Stone Age.
Right.
But that had nothing to do with the album art. As far as like clearance with artwork or like photography, how does that work exactly?
I don't know. And in fact, I'm finding that out now. Sometimes, you know, I've come across like a cool picture here, a cool picture there. And, you know, I've tried to chase it down to its source and just hit a dead end. And then other times, you know, you find some photographer's work you really like, maybe a picture. You know, we sent a couple, you know, emails off to a couple guys and just never got responses. So clearly we were way below their radar.
Yeah. And I didn't know it was like, you know, hey, here's a copy of the record, or hey, you know, just...
I think it could kind of go almost any way.
Yeah.
And not really personally having a whole lot of... history doing that kind of thing myself, you know, I don't really know the answer. I'm just figuring all that crap out right now.
Yeah.
This stage of the game.
It's yeah, because I just, everything that, with every Jughead record, it was just stuff that we had laying around that was ours.
Right.
You know
so it's nice to control everything, but there does come a point where you'd love it if somebody else just picked up the ball and ran a few yards with it. You know, yeah. I wrote all this new Viva Death stuff. I wrote it, I financed it, I played all the instruments on it.
Yeah.
So, and I'm looking for the artwork. It's like a one man show, and I know that's not new to a lot of people out there that do that kind of stuff all the time. But
yeah.
I'm just an old timer, set in my ways. I don't know, you crazy kids.
Well, awesome.
Yeah.
What Did you have something?
I got some old garage.
Oh, okay. I wanted to... Oh, let me do this one first.
All right.
Sticking to our Valentine's Day theme. It's the Rolling Stones. Starfucker.
Oh, perfect.
Raised by Wolves.
Baby. Make
Susie? Susie Cream Cheese? This is the voice of your subconscious mind speaking, Susie. Susie, what's got into you?
We'll be right back.
Yeah, that was off Standards and Practices. And I was just telling you that the reason that, you know, a kind of a, essentially a throwaway cover record, how, you know, I think it sounds terrific. And
yeah,
a lot of my friends
I really
time
liked that one.
Actually thought that was, you know, a better record than our real record we put out. But we were recording Ignorance is Bliss, and we had all the equipment set up in Studio B at Rumbo, mic'd up, just everything kind of up and running and ready to go. So it wasn't like running into a studio and having to dial stuff in. We took a, you know, like a 2 week break for Christmas and stuff. But after, you know, being away for a week, we all just got a wild hair to go in there and do some stuff. And most of that stuff we hadn't really been playing or whatever. So we just, you know, each guy picked three or four songs, and we just kind of threw it all in the ring, and we just sit in the room and listen to the track, go out, run through it once or twice and record. So I think pretty much almost all that was recorded in a couple days, and it was all mixed in one afternoon. It was essentially almost kind of a throwaway thing, and but it still, I think it just sounds terrific.
I think it's great, especially the version of that song, because it's not, there are some bands, it's really hard to cover them.
Right.
And have it, you know.
Well, Chad wasn't very familiar with Jawbreaker at the time.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it was Trevor's idea to do that song. And, you know, when he played the Jawbreaker version, you know, Chad, it was, I don't mean Chad Yarrow, but Chad Blinman was a little kind of like, I don't know about this. Sounds like a train wreck. You know, he wasn't hearing the song amidst all the,
right,
the you know.
Well, it's a very comprehensive version of that song. It's
almost too clean. But, you know.
No, I think it's great. I think it kind of spaces out the song a little better in that you can really understand, like, with the vocal harmony, especially because, you know, Jawbreaker was so unique with that really weird harmony and
that other word that you can't.
Right, remember. The other word that's in the back of my brain right now. But whenever I'm DJing that, I always play that song, and people, I just like see where they're like, oh, that sounds like Trevor, but oh, wait, it's a fucking Jawbreaker song. So that's it's a great one.
And you a minute ago, when you said I want to play your Jawbreaker cover, for whatever reason, I was thinking because we covered Boat Dreams from a Hill for a Jawbreaker tribute, and you know I saw it once in a store years ago, and I almost thought, well, I'm gonna buy this because I want to have at least a copy of everything I've done with the band, which I don't actually even have. And I just thought, fuck that, I should have a free copy. And, you know, I never got it. And so I've actually never even heard the finished mix of our cover of Boat Dreams from a Hill. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that, too. We'll have to Blogspot.
Yeah.
Look that up. So, yes, are we at the...
We're wrapping it up.
We're at the cusp of another show.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Oh shit. That's right. So I'm David Coverdale of White Snake and Deep Purple fame. You've been listening to Raised by Wolves. I was your host, Joe D. So tune in next week when our guest host is going to be the ghost of Tommy Bolin, and we can ask him all about his heroin troubles and yeah, so awesome.